I have two stands today because it's going to be double the length. So I hope you guys are buckled in because we're going to be in here for at least 60 minutes. All right. All right. Morning. My name is Brian Moore, and my wife Tesh and I have been members here at NAPC for like a year and a half. And I'm really excited to be up here today. I'm really humbled by this opportunity to speak. Just a little background on Tesh and I before we get started. Tesh is a seventh grade language arts teacher at Gahanna Middle School East, and I'm an IT project manager. So I work for a company in Hilliard and work on the business side of IT. So I can't fix computers, I just you know, do the business side. So don't ask me about that later. When David approached me about preaching a couple weeks ago, after thinking about it, I said, yeah, sure, I would love to do that. That sounds like something the Lord has for us. And I asked him, I was like, well, where are you going to be? Are you going to be here? He said, no, I'll be gone. And then I asked, where are you going to be? And he said, Vegas. And I was like, dude, you gave me about 30 different jokes that I could make about a pastor in Vegas. I will refrain from most of them, but pray for him. I also asked David, I said, is there a topic you want me to preach on? We just finished this series, Five Alone, right? So is there something you kind of naturally want me to go into next? He said, nope. Just do whatever you want. And my first probably sinful response was, dude, that is not helpful. Like, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that I could preach on. So like a little bit of direction would be great. But he said, nope, whatever the Lord leads you to preach on. And so, thankfully, like through prayer and just reading together, I feel like the Lord has put something on my heart that is for us today. And it's something I'm really excited about and really passionate about, and I'm really pumped to share it with y'all. So what I'm going to do is I'm gonna read the scripture here for us, and then I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dive right on in. So first, we have Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Jesus, we thank you for this morning, and it is such a gift of yours that we get to meet together in this room and talk about your word. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit be present here and speak to individual hearts here today, that you would speak through me, Father, not my words, but yours. Strike from any words that I'm not supposed to speak, Jesus. I'm terribly unqualified, but you are more than capable, and we ask that you speak today. Amen. So, like I said, over the past 6 weeks, we've been going through a series. We just finished a series called Five Alone, right, where we covered the five foundational truths that we really believe as a church. And if you missed any of those or missed all of them, I really would encourage you to go back and listen to them because it's really core to what we believe here at NAPC. So they're encouraging truths that we need to remind ourselves of. And as I listened to the sermons and sat here in the pews, and I was at small group and discussing this, I kept on coming up with this same thought and this same just challenge, I guess, that I had. And that was, these are great and really true, and we need to believe these and remind each other of these. But sometimes life just gets really hard, and it's really hard to live out a life that is glorifying God in the midst of this broken and dark and sinful world. So how do we do that? And if I'm being honest with myself, a lot of times I feel like I just cannot do this on my own. And that is very true, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And see, we were created to be in community. That when God created us, he put Adam in the garden, and he experienced perfect community right there. But then through Adam and Eve, sin entered the world, and it broke that relationship that we had. And if we wonder something, I think deep down inside of us, we all long for deep, meaningful relationships with other people. Whether you are the most extroverted person in the world, and you get life from being in the middle of a group, being loud and obnoxious, right? Or if you are somebody who prefers to be in a remote cabin in the woods reading a book in front of a fire by yourself, something about us still within everybody longs for that deep, meaningful relationship. Well, why is that? I think to understand that, we have to look at the God who created us. You see, we are created in the image of the triune God, which means that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has enjoyed perfect community within himself. So for all eternity past and all eternity future, he has, does, and will enjoy perfect community. And we were created in his image. So we reflect, we are image bearers of God. And so that is why we long for that same community, because we are created to desire that and be a part of that. A lot of times, though, we often will try to go it alone, right? And say, I've got this. I know what it's like to follow Jesus. I can handle myself as it is. But we were not made for that. And we are made to share in our struggles with our community. Growing up, my family loves to travel. Still does, right? So we all have the bug now. We've caught it as adults, and we like to travel a lot. And we used to take these long camping trips, tent camping trips. My dad said non-tent camping trips weren't camping trips, so we always roughed it. And on one such camping trip, we went to Alaska for 3 weeks, all right? So pretty cold, but a great trip. And this was the summer after my ninth grade year. Well, the thing about that summer is I was in cross country, so I was training in the peak physical shape of my life. That's a small jersey, all right, that could not fit my shoulders. So I was pretty fierce and something to be reckoned with. But as I was training, I knew that I'd have to run when I was on vacation in Alaska. So I was like, well, that's not fun. Nobody loves to run on their vacation. But here's this other thing about Alaska. For some reason, I don't know if I had watched like When Animals Attacked on Discovery Channel or something, but I was completely convinced that at any given point in Alaska, you could be subject to being straight up mugged by a bear, all right? Like at any point. So if you were in the dry goods aisle at the grocery store, bear attack, right? Like you're kayaking in the ocean, sea bears. They are everywhere and they will find you, all right? So it was with this thought, totally illogical, besides the fact that I don't know much about bears, but it was what I was going running with. And so I was like, had heard that you're not supposed to surprise bears, which, duh, like who's trying to surprise bears? That was like kind of second nature. So you're supposed to run with bells or something? Well, I didn't plan for that. So instead, I would go running and I would clap as I'm running, like the whole time I was running. But I wouldn't do like a normal rhythm because I was convinced that bears liked that. And so I would like awkwardly like try to, can you imagine running like in rhythm but trying to clap outside? It was terrible. So inevitably what happened every time is I would go out and say like, I'm trying to do a 3 mile run, but I'd make it like, I don't know, less than a mile the way there, and I'd be like, all right, let's call it, you know, and turn back and head home because around the next corner could be my death by bear. So I would often go back the easy route and head home. But on that same trip, my family loves to hike, and so we would go on these big, long hiking trips, right? And I'll tell you what, when I was with my family, there was really no fear in me that we were going to sneak up on a bear. All right, there's six of us, and we made plenty of noise. And hiking with them, there's a ton of comfort and security. I really didn't even think about it. And they pushed me on and said, hey, let's keep going. It wasn't a concern. And so it was really important there that I was in the midst of these other people in my family. In the same way, there's kind of a direct connection, right? Like when we live life in the midst of community, there's a lot of important things that happen, all right? A lot of really important things, and it drastically affects how we live as followers of Jesus. And what I want to talk about today is, why is it important? Why is it important for us to live amongst community? So there's a bunch of different reasons that come up from that. The first one is because there's encouragement in community. We see here in Hebrews 10, it says that we should be encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what does encouragement look like? Well, it could mean complimenting each other, sure, but I think it's more than that. Encouraging means that when we are going through things, it means that we come alongside our brothers and sisters who are going through hard times and say, hey, it's okay for it to be hard. Like, I know that it's hard. I want you to know that we care about you. I want to be alongside you in the midst of it and remind you of what Jesus has done for you, remind you of God's promises for you, and hopefully that's encouraging. In the midst of it, knowing that you are not alone, that is a great gift that we can give to somebody else. Another aspect of being encouraging, we also see in Hebrews where it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And, you know, I think I have a great example of this in my small group. Nicole and Scott Contour are sitting here, and Tell you what, I think Nicole is trying to clothe the entire state of North Carolina for Project 658, all right? She has dedicated her whole upstairs to collecting clothes for that project and that mission. And what's really cool about that is Nicole essentially is saying, hey, I'm getting to do this, I'm getting to serve in this way, join me, like be a part of this. And she's encouraging others to join her, and people have, and are bringing clothes in a way to serve, and Nicole and Scott are leading a charge in that in an amazing, cool way. And that's what we get to do as part of a community, is push each other to love and care and serve others. And that's a great example of it. And I think a third way in which we get to encourage another community is through the form of challenge. And what I mean by that is that there's times in our life where we're going to look at our brothers and sisters' lives, and there might be ways in which it is not glorifying God, right? Like we're falling short and we're stumbling, and we can see that and recognize that in our brothers and sisters around us. And encouragement means us coming alongside and saying, hey, here's what the Bible says about how you're supposed to live. Like, let's do this together. Like, I don't think what you're doing is in line with God's plan for you. Let's live this out together. And it's encouraging them and challenging them to say, live a life that is glorifying to God, and here's where I think you can do it. And a key part of anything like that, like accountability, is confession, right? So in community, we should have and do have a place for confession. We see in James 5:16, he says that we should confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Listen, this one's really hard, right? Like, we don't like admitting that we're wrong, and I certainly don't like admitting that I'm wrong to somebody else. Like, you know, I mean, if you don't believe me, ask my wife. Like, I am not quick to admit that I am wrong in marriage. And so I think it's something within us that makes this really hard. And the Bible talks to us frequently about the need of confessing our sins. In 1 John 1:9, it says, hey, confess your sins. And when you confess your sins, the Lord is faithful and just, and he'll forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we're called to confess our sins to the Lord, and he gives us grace and a saving grace, right, that he has died for us and paid the way for all of our sins, regardless of type, right? So why then is it important for us to confess our sins to one another? Well, I think there's a couple reasons. And one, it says here that you may be healed, right? Well, what does that mean? We are sinful people, and so there's a lot of times this tension and strife that is created in our relationships, our friendships, our marriages, and there tends to create a divide between us as a church community. And when we confess our sins to each other and go before it, it's us humbly coming and saying, hey, I don't have it all together. And it allows for healing to occur between us and for us to get to experience more and more of what the kingdom of God is like in our lives. That's really important. And the second thing that confessing our sins to one another does is it brings sin into the light, right? Sin, when it's held in the darkness, has great power over us. But when we bring it into light, there it is destroyed. And the power of God works in our lives to help us fight that sin. And we get to do that alongside one another. But to do that, we have to be willing to confess our sins amongst each other so we know what we're dealing with. And if you're thinking, man, like, I don't struggle. What I'm struggling with is way too crazy and out there. You are not alone. Like, we don't struggle maybe with the same specific sin, but we all share the exact same condition. And that is that we are sinners in need of Jesus to come and forgive us and save us. So we're all in that same spot together. And that's one of the challenges that comes up with confession. And when somebody confesses to you, you get a really cool opportunity. And that is to give grace. To give grace. Grace is such a key integral part of community, right? That when we sin, we get to remind people of what Jesus has done for them. That they are forgiven. That God has sent his son to die on the cross so you can be forgiven. What a great reminder. We should be doing that all the time. Yes, we fall short. Yes, we sin. But here's what Jesus has done for you. Like, our lives as Christian believers should exist just to point people towards the person of Jesus Christ. That's all we are. We don't have much to offer. We have Jesus, though. And look what he's done for you. And when people confess sins to you and they say, hey, here's what I've done against you, you get the chance to display forgiveness and grace to them as well. And that's an incredible healing thing. It breaks down barriers and builds strong, lasting relationships that is important. And the other thing that grace allows for us, and I think we see this a lot in community, is communities bring us tons of joy, right? Sometimes it's just fun. Sometimes it's just a lot of fun hanging out as a group and getting to do things. How fun is it to learn scripture together and speak of? I love that you guys did that. That's amazing. We get to do that together. We get joy when we see the people we've been praying for come to know the truth of the gospel, right? We see joy when we see our lives transformed by God. We see joy when we see prayers answered. We experience joy when we see the word of God lived out in our lives, right? As we become less and less self-serving and more like Jesus, we experience a ton of joy together as we see growth in the midst of each other. And we get all that opportunity in the confines of our community as a church and with others as individuals. And that is such a gift. That's an incredible, incredible gift that we get to be part of that. You know, there's some things, and you might be thinking that that's all well and good, but it is way harder to do those things than it is to actually say them. And in some ways, you know, that's true. It is hard. And maybe your thought is, I don't have time to spend with other people. I just don't in my schedule. We have kids' practices we have to be to. We have work meetings. We have all kinds of other get-togethers and parties to plan and all these different things. What I would say is, it is so worth it. Like, it is so worth you investing your time in this because it's how we are designed to live life together as believers. So it's worth you figuring out what it looks like to spend time together and to have intentional time talking about what Jesus has done in your lives and what he's continuing to do for you. You also might think that there's something about us that we have nothing to offer, right? I'm just this lowly me. I have nothing to offer to anybody else. Well, here's the thing. For those of you who know Jesus, you have Christ to offer, Christ in you. And that is worth more than you can ever imagine. And he certainly is doing a great work in you that you are able to go and share the gospel and good news with others. Like, we're not presenting ourselves, right? Ourselves is kind of an empty gift. But when we present Jesus, the hope of our eternal life with him, that's incredible. And each of you has that. That's amazing that we get to be part of that and we get to even have the opportunity to do so. There also might be the fear, what if I allow myself to be fully known? Like, what if I'm really vulnerable? And people actually find out what I'm really about, and then they reject me, right? Isn't that our greatest fear? It's terrifying to us. Tim Keller writes in his book, Meaning of Marriage, that to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It's what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, it humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. See, the thing about being known is that God already does know you, right? He knows everything there is to possibly know about you, every hair on your head, every thought that you have, and he loves you more than you could ever imagine, right? So in the midst of that, that is where we get to have community, is knowing that God loves us, has died for us, regardless of our sin. He hates our sin, but he says, I'm going to pay for that on the cross. And when we share and with each other and get to be vulnerable, we get to come together and say, I'm screwed up. Hey, let's walk towards Jesus together because neither of us has it together. And we just need Jesus. That's our reminder. I wanted today to also talk about some really practical things about what it looks like to be in community together, because it's kind of sometimes a really vague thing. Of this concept of community that we as a church body, does it mean just, you know, these friendships we're building and things like that? Yes, true, but I think there's specific things that we can do as believers to encourage one another in Christ. And first one is to serve one another. We see this throughout the Bible, the call to serve, that Jesus himself came and was a servant, and we are to mirror his likeness, right? That he was a servant, so we are to serve. Few things build tight relationships in serving one another. Right, which shows that we care for each other, we're compassionate, that we love the people around us, and it's a huge blessing, right? How many times have you had friendships that are founded on service, and you know that those people would do anything for you without expecting a return, and it builds relationships that last, right? This could look a million different ways. There's a lot of opportunities, so I would encourage you to be creative with it and just look for opportunities to serve one another. It could be making a meal, it could be watching kids, it could be mowing the lawn, it could be financially giving. You know the people around you, you know your friends, your family. Look for opportunities to serve one another. And another one that seems really simple is spend time together. It's really difficult to build deep, meaningful relationships with each other when the only time we see each other is between that door and the exit, right? That's really hard. So I'd encourage you to look for opportunities here as well to spend time together. And people have busy schedules, so you're going to have to figure some stuff out about what this looks like. For me, it's on that basketball court. Like, I don't know if anybody else uses that court. It might be my own personal one at this point, but I spent a lot of time out there. And yesterday, two days ago, Adam and I were out there shooting, and we were just hanging out talking about life. So for some of you, it might be getting coffee in the morning, right? Just before the day gets going, you grab a coffee. It might be grabbing dinner after work. And if you have kids, it might be, hey, let's get a play date together where our kids can run around and tear up the house. And while they're doing that, we get to talk, all right, and hang out. It could be going grocery shopping together. I don't know. You get crazy with it. The thing is, for me, I'll say this. It's not grocery shopping. Like, that is when I am at my absolute worst. So, like, if you run into me at Meijer, just, like, give me tons of grace because there's a decent chance I'm really angry that I'm grocery shopping. And, you know, in these times when we actually get time together, my encouragement to you would be to be honest with each other. And this one's also really, really hard. We live in a community that has created this image of perfection, right? And almost like brags about that. And we often go through our lives saying, projecting that we have it all together. And the reality is we all know we don't. And we're all struggling with different things that are burdens in our lives. What I'll encourage you is to have people in your lives who you are truly transparent and honest with. And if there's things on your heart that are weighing you down, know that when you are honest with each other, you are freeing yourself from this thought that you are alone in your sin, right? And if we're not honest with each other, if we keep that all inside of us, not only are we saying that we are alone in our sin, we're telling others that they are alone in theirs. So free them from that and receive God's grace. And when you can confess your sin and when you're honest with each other, let people remind you of what God has done for you and how eternity awaits for you. And that's what you get to experience when you are honest with each other, with others. So I'd encourage you to pursue that in your conversations with your family, around the dinner table, with friends as you meet up and hang out. And the last one is to seek discipleship. And discipleship is kind of a funny word too to us, right? It's kind of this, what does this really mean? What is discipleship to us? Well, discipleship is really modeling and guiding others to live righteous lives in pursuit of Jesus and reminding people of the truth of the scriptures and what they mean in our lives. So discipleship is that I'm going to intentionally spend time with others, talking about the word of God, praying for each other, and challenging us to live lives that glorify him. John Piper said there's three things that every Christian should do as part of discipleship. One is help unbelievers become believers. That we are sharing the gospel with others for those who don't know, that they might know the good news and the truth of the gospel, that is Jesus Christ dying for them so that they could experience eternal life. Two is that we are helping others grow in more and more maturity in the word of God. Right there, we're challenging them. This is the idea of we're challenging people. Here's what the Bible says. I want you to grow. How does your life reflect Jesus? Where are areas where it could use some growth? We got to do that together. And the third thing he says is that we should be seeking help for ourselves to grow to know Jesus more. So a challenge I have for you today is that this is really hard, right? Because it requires time spent together. Discipleship requires frequency in some form, right? If I meet with somebody once every 4 months, it's probably going to be pretty difficult for me to invest in their life because there's a lot of things, a lot of life that goes on in 4 months. So discipleship requires frequency. And what I would encourage you to think about is in whom are you investing? And if you have a name, write it down. Do they know you're investing in them? And the other thing is, who is investing in you? And this is really important. Like, we were not designed to walk alone. We were designed to have people lead us and guide us. And there's others who are spiritually more mature who are ready to lead and to serve. And that's an important part of your walk with Jesus. And I would ask you to consider what that looks like in your life. Do you have people who are doing that for you? You know, every time I would go out running when I was in Alaska, besides for hating that I was doing it, I was packed with this fear and insecurity that at any point I could turn the corner and die by a bear. And so I often turned back way too soon because it was much easier to go back. And there's no worth there was not worth me pressing on because, well, it was just me and nobody would really know. And it was just easier to turn around. But when I was with my family and I would get tired or exhausted on these hikes, I would have my family to come alongside me and say, usually my mom, right? Brian, we're almost there. Like, we're so close. Just press on. We're almost there. And we get these little glimpses along the way, right? If you've ever been hiking, you can picture how the trees kind of clear and there's a gap for a second and you get this magnificent view, but just a little bit because you're still hiking upward. And that view is just a reminder of what awaits for us ahead. And a magnificent, when you get to the top of the mountain, the spectacular view that you get to see because you've pressed on through the difficulty. The same way, that's what following Jesus is like in the midst of community, right? Along the way, as we encourage each other, we get little glimpses of what heaven and eternity is like for us. And that should be refreshing and encouraging and encourage us and push us towards the end. And what awaits at the end for those who know Jesus? Eternity with him in heaven. And in heaven, we will have more rest and joy and satisfaction and peace than we have ever known or experienced. And that's our hope and joy at the end. And in community, we get to remind each other of that. And we get to press on. So as things come up that cause us to want to give up and fall back and stumble and life's difficulties come at us, we get to remind each other of the hope that waits us at the end. And that's an encouraging thing. Paul talks about pressing on towards the goal of the call heavenly in God in Christ Jesus in Philippians 3. That's what we're doing. We're pressing on together. We're running this race together. I don't know, certainly, the hearts in this room or where people are at. And you might be thinking, that's all well and good, but that's not me. And I don't know what this is like to be in a relationship with Jesus. That's not a thing for me. What I'll encourage you this, the thing that you need most before even our community here is Jesus and a relationship with him. And he is pursuing you more than you could ever imagine. And he is ready and waiting and wanting you to know him so he can have that relationship with you. And what that looks like is this, that if you acknowledge that, hey, Jesus, I am a sinner. I've screwed up. I confess my sins to you. And I know that you are Lord and you desire a relationship with me and I want you to be Lord of my life. He is there. And his Bible says you'll be saved when you confess those things and recognize that he is Lord. I would encourage you to think about that today. And think about that as you leave, of like what that looks like in your life. And for those who know Jesus, my encouragement to you would be to go forth and live lives together, glorifying God. It's how we are created to live. It's what we are created to do. And in our relationships, we get to remind people about what Jesus has done for us, the miraculous things he's done in our lives, how he's answered our prayers, how he continues to bless us abundantly, how he is there in the midst of hard times. Those reminders all exist when you're honest and open with the people around you. So linger longer after church. Spend time together. Hang out. Remind people of what the Bible says and live in that and live life. The Bible says in John 10:10 that Jesus came so we could have life and life to the full. We get to do that together. How crazy is that? How cool is that, that we get to be a part of that? I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. But I encourage you to think about those things today. That God is good to you and has done much for you, and you need to remind others of that as well. So let me pray for us, and we'll close with the Lord's Prayer.